On August 10, 1974, Eddie Nalin, a prisoner serving a life sentence at the Millhaven Maximum Security Prison near Kingston, Ontario, bled to death inside his solitary confinement cell. A coroner's inquiry the next year determined negligence and lack of communication with the prisoner played a role in his death. Every year on this date, inmates at Millhaven have been staging fasts and have been refusing to work as a way of honoring Nalin's memory. Advocates for prisoners have carried this commemoration further with actions across the country and around the world. August 10th has become known as Prisoner Justice Day. In Winnipeg, an action was held outside the Winnipeg Remand Center in the downtown. There were about 60 people, some holding signs of support for prisoners who have died in jail, gathered there on a sunny Saturday afternoon to mark the occasion and invite families of prisoners who have similarly lost their lives in unjust circumstances to speak to the crowd. One of the speakers was Katie Keller of the John Howard Society, a humanitarian organization focused on prisoner rights and welfare.
The Correctional Investigators 2011-2012 report has been described as a litany of negative indicators. Howard Sapers, the correctional investigator, says more offenders are admitted to federal penitentiaries more addicted and mentally ill than ever before. It shouldn't be a surprise that the suicide rate then in federal penitentiaries is 6 times higher than the general public. The incidence of self-harm among inmates has almost tripled in the last 5 years. There's been a 42% increase in the same 5 years of inmate assaults. There's been a 37% increase of officers using force to subdue inmates in that same period of time. The murder rate inside our jails and prisons is higher, much higher than it is in the general public. Yet again, our governments keep telling us we need to be afraid.
Cheryl James is the sister of Kenu James, who died while in a Prince Albert facility after prison officials failed to respond to an emergency call from her cell.
My sister died in Prince Albert in January. She was in distress, and she kept pushing her call button. But they wouldn't listen. They turned it off. She kept yelling for help. People in the cells near her were pushing their call buttons, and nobody came. Nobody came for about an hour. And by then, my sister I'm not going to rest until I know what happened and why what happened to my sister in there. That shouldn't have happened. Why didn't they listen to her calls? Why didn't they listen to those other people that were also calling on her behalf?
The family of Donald Ray Moose spoke next. He died at the age of 32. The family was initially told he died of a heart attack, only to discover 2 years later that the actual cause was over-medication.
A final autopsy of my brother, the outcome of it was he had been over-medicated, and that was the result of his death. An inquest was called into his death. It's been hard. You want to accept that you lose a loved one, but having to accept it in a different way, that he didn't have to die, that he could have got the help that he was asking for so long, like a lot of you with your family members here that have lost a loved one behind the walls.
Donald Ray was your son?
Yes, he was my son. He had a very good heart, very good heart. He loved everyone, all his family and friends and youth, and he always cared about people, you know, always. He always felt so sorry for other people that were on the street. He always wanted to help them, you know. He had such a good heart.
So he was very well-educated as well?
Yes, he had his master's degree.
When you heard that about what happened to him...
I knew there was something going to happen to him. Like, you know, why don't they do something about it? I said, stay away. Throw those pills away. They're killing you, I said. They're killing you. They're giving you stuff that will kill you, I said. This was September the 29th. He called me. Mom, I'm not feeling well, he said. And that was it. I never talked to him after that. I said, I love you, my baby. Try and do something to go to the hospital. He took him to the hospital. Mrs. Moose, is that you? And then I said, yes, what's wrong? Donald, they took Don to the emergency at the Grace Hospital. They'll be there in half an hour. In half an hour, they call me back. He's not doing too well, they told me that day. And then by that time, in half an hour, they call me. Are you alone? He said to me, that nurse in the hospital, at the Grace Hospital. And I said, no, I'm with my husband and my little baby. I said. And then he said, you know what, Don is gone. He passed away, he said. It hurts me so much. I just sat down and cried. Why mostly Native people? Why? Why? Why are we losing our loved ones, you know?
Well, my name is Matthew Thunder, and Don is a brother of ours. Reason why I say that, because I'm a chief representative of Brotherhood of Red Nations, and he was a member for the longest time. We need a service and a resource to help these brothers, to help these sisters once they step out into freedom. Because a lot of them are institutionalized. A lot of them can't cope with society. They try, then they go back. There's a thing called the revolving door right now. This is why that revolving door exists, because there is no support out here, like I said. I also would like to ask Stephen Harper, is there justice for all nations in this land of ours? I'd like to ask him and his crew that, what their answer will be. The brothers and the sisters inside, they're not able to practice their spiritual practices properly without being washed 24 hours a day. Hey, what are you guys doing? You're not supposed to be burning that sweetgrass. You're not supposed to be burning that sage in this area. You guys gotta go somewhere else to do that. Some of the guards are very rude and ignorant and disrespectful with those medicines and with their elders as well. There is one occasion, like I said, we had a sweat and we had about 5-10 minutes. And they said, okay, we have to do a recount. Everybody get back to their unit ASP. And the elder says, it will be done in 5 minutes. And they said, no, now. But the thing is, when it comes with the church, they put the count on hold for half an hour, for an hour, even 2 hours, till the church is done. Then they start the count. But with us, they couldn't even give us 5-10 minutes to finish our spiritual ceremonies, the thing that we, you know, we pray to God with, you know?
The event ended with a prayer, more drumming, and a round dance. People wishing more information about Eddie Nalin and Prisoner Justice Day can go to prisonjustice.ca. From the heart of downtown Winnipeg and occupied Anishinaabe Aking, homeland of the Métis and the historical territory of the Nihoak and the Nakota, this has been Michael Welch for CKUW 95.9 FM.